kids far betterment.
Okay. No, but we can talk about this, panic attacks, since they've been something that's reappeared in our lives lately. Or we can talk about our families. I think that might be a good topic because they're very different. And we just went out of town with yours.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can talk about... I guess families interest me because we've both had our differences with our families. I think mine stem from... I don't know, growing up and not feeling listened to, or feeling as if I wasn't able to like express myself in a way that my family would like try to relate or understand, kind of feeling like an outsider, where yours, I think, is coming from a place where you don't feel... like anything's talked about, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that that might be a good topic because when we went to Atlanta and we were talking with your godfather, he mentioned that him and your dad do talk about things and he does bring up concerns to him, but you've always said that your dad doesn't really bring up anything, or if he does, it's very like quick and then take care of it and that's it. And so, you know, my family is a little bit different where, I mean, a lot of times they probably won't bring it up to you. They'll bring it up to everybody else. And then you'll hear about it like third, fourth, or fifth hand. Mm-hmm. And then I'm not the kind of person that'll like let it go, which I probably should, but I'll usually be confrontational with that person and bring it up to them. I think I've gotten a little bit better about that, but, or at least letting things go, but, I don't know. What do you wish, or how do you wish it was different, I guess?
For your family?
Or for both of us.
Well, you know what I say.
Okay. Well, that's the end of the podcast.
I don't know, get uncomfortable talking, you know that. I say that every podcast.
Yeah, you do.
So, my family's very, what, private, would you say?
Yes.
Is that how you would say, like, describe it? I don't know.
It's so hard to describe because I think my family is fairly private about their own lives, for sure.
They're very, they don't like to have problems. They like to be perfect, right?
I don't know.
It's like, very, they very much want to be, what's that show called with the little kid?
Stepford Wives?
No.
Oh.
You know, it was like in the 50s, little kid.
Oh, Leave It to Beaver?
Yep, they wanted to be a very Leave It to Beaver.
Do you think so? Am I Eddie Haskell then?
I don't know.
I'm the bad guy.
Maybe.
I'm the villain. Oh, no.
But yeah, I don't know. Any kind of problem there is that's like swept under the rug and not talked about. Pretend like everything's perfect. It's like when, like if other family members ask about things in the family, it's just like, oh, everything's great, everything's good, and nothing's ever talked about, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess that's why I was really surprised when your godfather brought that up and said that your dad had like brought up problems to him or whatever, because it was it was just like, it kind of threw me off. I was surprised. I guess your family is different from mine in that sense where your family like you were saying, everything's good, everything's great. My family is like, nope, not good enough, never great enough, everything sucks. or it's a really weird competition where
between like all your aunts and uncles and their kids, yeah. Their cousins.
But my cousins and I don't have that competition between ourselves. Like we're all pretty happy for each other for the most part. Like we don't really see each other as competition, and I think a lot of us like get along really, really well, really close with a lot of my cousins. Really like enjoy being around them, and like as I've gotten older, I think I really enjoy being around my aunts and uncles too a lot more. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, I felt like really like I had to rebel against that, and I don't know, maybe that's part of everybody. And I guess my only gauge for that is you, because I don't really know anybody else that's like, or this, I don't know anybody this well, I guess. Because you didn't really rebel against your parents, do you think?
No, I didn't. excuse me.
Wow, that was an embarrassing sneeze.
No, I didn't really rebel at all, ever. Still, to this day, I don't really rebel.
Yeah. What would you consider, like, your rebellious stage?
I don't know. I got pregnant before I was married. I'm sure that my parents would probably think that was pretty...
You think?
And I was pretty young. Yeah, I mean,
well, yeah, we were young.
They didn't care, but I'm sure if they...
Do you think they cared, though, like, secretly? Do you think they cared?
Probably. I think that, like... They want it, like, they're very much, they want it, you know, to have a very straight line, like, very typical, like, you know, go to school, you graduate high school, you go to college, you get a job, you get married, you know, you wait a few years, have kids, and that's what you do the rest of your life, like, very...
Sure, like the American dream, kind of.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't do that.
Yeah, I get that. I could see why that would be abrasive for them. Like, if you have that image of... Well, I guess it kind of... That's another way. I think our parents are different. I was raised... Like, my mom... I think she was raised that way. And so she never wanted that for me. She wanted me to, like... She really raised me to be, like, a dreamer. To be happy, like that was overall, that was the main goal, and I think that kind of set like a unrealistic expectations for me in a way, because I always thought happiness was like this thing to achieve, as if you can just get to a place where you have it, and now I don't really think that's true at all. I think happiness is either not attainable in a generalized sense, or it's so different for everyone that there isn't really like a singular idea of it. And I think from what you've said anyway, like in your family, that never even came up. Like it wasn't about being happy or having dreams. It was more about like very logical next steps, like graduate high school, go to college, get a good job, get a house, find a husband, get married,
mm-hmm.
have children, and then start that cycle over with them.
Yep.
So I don't know, I think me and you have built like a much different cycle for ourselves from both of our families.
Yeah.
I don't know, it makes me think a lot about how we want to raise our kids. I think I personally like push happiness a lot on them too, which, you know, now that I say that feels really wrong. But I think the way we tell them, like, to do whatever they want as long as, you know, they're comfortable with that. You know, like, we don't expect them to go to college. We don't expect them to, like, get a career. We don't expect those things of our kids. We want them to be satisfied with their lives and the choices that they've made.
As long as they're happy and healthy. Yeah. Like, if they're happy being a clerk at a gas station for their entire lives and they're able to, you know, be happy and content with themselves, then that's what they should do. Like, if that's what they want to do.
Yeah. Well, and I think that, like, really, like, I don't know. Is that right? Is that wrong? Like, do we are we not wanting enough or expecting enough of them?
Well, I guess.
Because I think about that a lot.
I'd rather them, if that's what they want to do, though, if they are doing that and they're unhappy, then no. I don't know if that makes sense. What'd I say? I don't know.
No, it makes sense. If they're, like, whatever they're doing, if they're unhappy, you wouldn't be happy. You would be, I don't know, sad for them, I guess, or...
If they want to be a doctor, then I think they should, you know, go to college and do whatever they have to do to be a doctor. But if they want to, I don't know, do something else and they're happy doing that, then do that.
Like, what if they come to us and they go, Mom, Dad, I want to build, like, I want to create, like, I don't know, brooms made from natural birch.
Go for it. If that was, if that's what makes you happy.
I guess that's how I'd be too. I'd be
I mean,
like,
give me a broom,
have a
though.
Good time, yeah. I want the best broom that you sell because we created you. We brought you to this world and you give me the best of everything.
Give me a broom.
Yeah, I don't know. And I guess...
Is birch a hardwood? I feel like isn't birch soft? Wouldn't the broom just break in half?
Okay, fine. Whatever. I don't know my woods. Give me a pine.
I'm not sure.
I would
maybe
like a pine
hard
broom.
Sounds like a soft wood,
give
though.
Give me an oak broom. That's what I would like. An oak broom.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, it's weird. I guess for me, here's the weird thing. Is when we go on vacation or whatever, like, I feel really... like a guest every time, you know? Like, do you feel like that?
What are you talking about?
Like, when we go on vacation with your parents,
oh,
I feel like
you didn't
a guest.
Say with my parents.
Or, like, I have to be on my best behavior. Like, I can't be...
yourself?
Myself a lot of times.
Yeah.
And I don't think that they do that on purpose. Well, I don't think they do it at all. I just think it's like, I know what their expectations are of us. And it always makes me feel weird because I'm going to be 34 in January.
Yeah.
But I still feel like I have to be on my absolute, like, best behavior. And I have to, I don't know. I guess I really wish that we could have, like, I don't know. A different relationship.
Okay, pause there because I wanted to go back because I didn't finish a thought in my head from before.
Go ahead.
When we were talking about the kids and their jobs. Because we know some people and, well, like, some people we know, they say things, and this is actually, like, word for word from somebody that we know said something like that their kid wanted to be an artist and she had to...
Their daughter had to... They shot their daughter down, basically, because artists don't make a lot of money.
And she, was like, no.
Yeah, and...
You can't do that.
Her mom and dad were, like, right in front of us, told her, like, no, you can't do that. That's not a real job. And I guess I like, made me really sad for that kid. But, you know, you can't really do anything about it. And it's not your kid, so you don't want to, like, butt in. And it's who knows who's right or wrong? Like, maybe we're completely wrong for telling our kids to be what they want, you know?
But also it's kind of offensive because I went to school. I went to college for art, and I know a lot of people, like, well, I mean, I went to college for art, so I know a lot of people who make a living on their art, or
well, I think it's very common photographer nowadays,
like
too.
Wedding photographers. I know a wedding photographer that charges like $10,000 a wedding, and they take like 20 a year or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there are plenty of artists that make money, or I mean, I know, you know, old neighbors of mine worked for Disney, like Disney Animation, or, you know, there's plenty of ways to make art and make money. Like,
I have a friend who's an animator, and he makes plenty of money.
Just insane to me that you would tell your kid that instead of saying something like...
It's not insane for me. It's safe. I think it's not insane. It's safe, and it's logical, you know?
That same person had once said that they wanted to originally do something when they were younger, and then they said they realized didn't make any money, and so they...
Well, their parents told them the same thing, I think.
Changed their mind and went into a different career, and that's just sad because, you know, that's what you really wanted to do, and you're still thinking about that at this age, then, like...
Well, I think it's a struggle.
You can't be happy.
It's a struggle, though. Like, what path are you going to take? Are you going to take the path of, like, making sure your kids are comfortable their whole life? Because that's our... Like, with the path we've chosen for our kids, they're never going to be comfortable. They're going to have to work very hard to get what they want and to get to a position where they want to be. Or we might end up helping them their entire lives, you know? We might end up having to take care of them, which... We've discussed this before too, like, and I think this is something I get from my mom. Like, they're always going to be our kids, and we'll always try to take care of them, no matter what, because we're a family.
Yeah.
A lot of parents don't feel that way. A lot of parents, and I'm not saying this is wrong, but a lot of parents, you know, once they're adults, they're like, okay, you're an adult now. I don't believe in that. Really, necessarily. I believe, like, everybody needs help sometimes, and I think that, especially if there are kids, like, I don't know. I don't ever want to stop being responsible for them, I guess. I don't ever want to stop trying to help them get to, like, another place or supporting them. I don't ever want to stop supporting my kids, I guess. And maybe that's because money doesn't really mean anything to us in some ways. I don't know.
Okay, now, fast forward back to what we were talking about before and how, yes, it does feel like a lot of times, like, we can't be ourselves around my parents.
Do you know, like... What you mean by that, though? Like, what do you mean by... Like, I guess I know what my idea of not being myself is. You know, I'm really, like, usually pretty... I don't know about loud, but I'm pretty, like, outgoing. I cuss a lot. I say, like, outlandish things. I don't know. I like to be involved. And when I'm with your parents, I feel like I'm in the background the whole time. Like, what is that like for you? Or is it just normal for you because, like, that's what you grew up with?
I feel like maybe that used to be who I was, but I've changed a lot since I don't live with them anymore and realized that how they are is not how most families are.
You don't know any other families like that, though, at all?
Do you?
I don't know.
I mean, I even feel like this is not just with my parents, but like other people, I guess, too, that I'm not comfortable around. But like sometimes like my back hurts because I'm like trying to sit up so straight or something, which, I mean, doesn't make sense because if I was like leaning over or something, they wouldn't yell at me or anything. But I just feel like I have to be so much more proper.
Why?
I don't know. That's even like a stupid thing to say, but...
No, it doesn't. I just want to know why.
I don't know.
Because I've never... Your parents ever done that?
What?
Like, made you sit up straight or, like, made you...
No.
See, that's... I guess that's interesting to me because, like, I remember getting in trouble for stuff like that when I was a kid. And then I grew up and I was like, fuck that. And I regret it now. Because I don't have the best posture. But, yeah, like, I got in trouble for stuff like that when I was a kid.
Oh, well, I guess, like... When I first went through puberty and I started getting, like, boobs, I was very uncomfortable with that because that's another thing is my parents never, like, talked to me about any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So I did kind of, like, hunch over because I was, like, embarrassed about it. And my mom used to always tell me, put your shoulders back. So maybe that's where that comes from. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. That's interesting. If you could, like, I know I've asked you this before, but what kind of relationship would you want with them?
I don't know, like, what you see on TV or, I don't know, even, like, what I see with all my other friends where their, like, mom is their BFF.
Yeah.
Like, tell their mom anything and they hug their mom, tell them I love you, because I literally... I don't know when the last time I ever hugged my parents was or told them I love you was. I literally can't remember.
Is that because you haven't tried or because they never tried? Like, when do you remember the last time or do you remember your parents ever, like, hugging you as a kid?
No.
Like, never, not ever. Not ever.
Not that I remember.
Like, not even when you're going to school.
Like, I mean...
In elementary school.
Maybe, like, they did, but I don't remember it.
Because that's weird to me, because, like, they hug Asher and our kids, like,
But do you think it's because Asher forces it? Because we do it?
I think maybe because he did force it, that maybe your parents have gotten more comfortable. Like, your mom's always done it. I think your dad grew up in a time where that wasn't, like, normal. Mm-hmm. But while we were on this trip with them... I saw your dad actually ask for a hug from Asher, which I'm not sure I'd ever seen. So that was nice to see. And we had a nice time with your parents. I mean, I don't want people to think that we didn't. You know, we enjoy their company. It's just really hard to describe, I guess.
And, like, when they were leaving... the house that we were all staying in, like, it wasn't like we hugged and said, oh, I miss you, because they live in a different state than us. It wasn't like that. It was I literally just said, okay, bye, and then just walked out of the house. I think you said more than we said.
The okay, bye thing, like, makes me uncomfortable. I don't think I could say that to somebody, like, oh, see ya. Like, I think to me that shows, like, a lot of indifference, and I think I would have trouble showing somebody that much indifference, especially, like, a family member or something. Like, I feel like that's something I would say to somebody I didn't really like, where I know that's not how you mean it and it's not how they mean it. It's just normal. But it is weird to me because, like, you're not going to see each other for a long time. And there have been times where me and my mom don't get along, but we still, like, say, okay, bye, I love you, you know?
Yeah.
Because, like, you're not going to see that person for a while.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, I've had, you know, plenty of... That's, I guess, another difference is, like, I've had plenty of arguments with my mom, like, screaming matches, like, you know... like, actual arguments, and I don't know if I've ever really seen you guys argue. I know you have, but not that way, and I guess I've always kind of wished my mom and I were like this, where, like, you guys move on really quick. Like, you'll have an argument, and then 10 minutes later, you're on to talking about, like, completely different things that have nothing to do. Like, you guys move on really fast. Where, like, my mom, or, well, mostly me, like, I'll stay mad at her for, like, months. You know? Mm-hmm. Which isn't very good, but that's just how it is, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, yeah, I don't know. There's some, like my mom especially, and maybe that's why my godfather says that my dad talks to him, because I think it's my mom more that's super private. Because I remember this was when I was still pregnant with Clara, but I remember telling you once that I was like, I wonder if my mom is religious, because like growing up, her growing up, she went to like Catholic school, yeah, and I know she went to church and everything. But like for me growing up, we didn't do that at all, other than when my grandma would come into town, my mom would take her to church. But like, so I remember telling you, I was like, I wonder even if my mom's not like religious, or if she just doesn't do that because like my dad isn't religious, because he didn't grow up religious or anything.
Yeah.
And so I remember you said, why don't you just ask her? And I remember being in the car with her. We were doing something baby related, I don't remember, and I was in the car with her and I asked her like just a simple question, like, do you believe in God, or like are you religious or something? And she acted like so offended that I would ask her that, like that was like such a like private thing to her. It's like that just seemed like such, like, I don't know.
That is weird. I mean, that it's interesting, huh? That is very like
how do
so
you,
she never answered though.
No. It's so, like, how do you get to know someone when they're so private? It's like,
yeah.
Like, I don't know, like, anything really about you.
Do you know, do you feel like you know either of them? Like, your dad, even?
I know who they are, who they show to be, but I don't, and I guess that's who they are, unless they're different when I'm not around. I don't know.
Yeah. Like, if you were out and you had to choose, I don't know, your mom's favorite meal or your dad's, like, favorite dessert, would you know what to pick for them?
I could guess.
But would you get it right?
I mean, I know things that they like and don't like, so I could at least get something that they would think was edible, I guess.
Yeah, okay.
I'd probably order my mom like a salad or something without mustard dressing.
I think that, I don't know, our parents are so different in the extreme. Like when I was a kid, I always thought my mom told me too many things, like things that you shouldn't tell your kids sometimes. And I guess I kind of give her an excuse a lot of times because she didn't have anyone else to talk to, I guess, and I was really mature kid, so I kind of get it, but at the same time there are a lot of things I shouldn't have known, that I think kind of made me grow up a lot faster than I wanted to, or that I realized I wanted to, and maybe that's why I am the way I am now. Like maybe that's why I'm so against growing up, or why I think you don't ever have to grow up. Like you can just, as long as you're responsible, you know, like we tell our kids that all the time, like you don't have to grow up, you have to be responsible, take
care
of your
responsibilities. Well, you always felt like you were the dad to your brothers, and you always felt like you had to take care of your mom.
I think that's why in a way like makes me feel so bad that they don't like me. I always felt like, yes, I definitely like was mean, and you know, we were all mean to each other, and I was the oldest, and you know, there's like definite sibling rivalry there, especially with my middle brother. But I always kind of just was like confused, like, am I supposed to be disciplining them? Because a lot of times my mom asked me to be the disciplinarian, and sometimes even now, or, you know, she hasn't done that in a while. And I'm
when
really
we first got together,
it,
and like in your early 20s or whatever, you lived with me, you know, we still lived in the same state, but different cities, and your mom would call
to call your cell phone
and say, can you discipline the kids for me?
Yeah,
that's kind of crazy.
That happened well into my late 20s, at least, early 30s. And they're not a whole bunch younger than me. I mean, they are 7 years and 12 years younger than me, but not so much that I should be disciplining them into their 20s. So I think that put me in a weird role. And then once I kind of stepped back and stopped allowing that to happen, you know, things got a little better. But maybe that is why I'm so against it. But I really did think, like, maybe like all parents think with them, that one day they would understand why I was being the disciplinarian, or why I was, you know, saying what I said or doing what I did or telling them things or lecturing them or whatever. I thought one day they'll understand and they'll appreciate it, which I guess was pretty naive because I'm their brother, not their dad. So they never understood it like I actually gave a shit about them. They just thought I was being bossy or that I was a know-it-all.
Well, that's so what you...
They don't have that relationship with me now.
Well, Asher lots of times will...
Do that.
Try to do that to Brooks.
Yeah. And we have to stop him and tell him, you're not the dad. They'll hate... Like, they won't like you if you try to be their dad. You have to be their brother. Like, that's super important to me.
Yeah.
To not make him or allow him to be the disciplinarian to his brothers and sister, because that puts you in a weird role where a brother doesn't belong. But I was just thinking about something when you were talking about your mom being religious or not. So first of all, you never found out. She got offended, but you didn't know what she was offended about, like whether she's offended about being religious, or do you think she was offended because, like, she thought, you should know this, Robin, I've been your mom your whole life?
No, I don't think so.
What do you think she was offended about then?
I don't know.
Here's something that's kind of ironic in a way. So I was thinking about when you were talking about that, why I'm not religious, and I was thinking, like, well, I didn't stop being religious until after I got with Robin. Maybe that's why, because Robin's not really religious. And then I thought back to something that my dad said to me. I used to pray the rosary all the time when I was with him. Like, that was the thing my mom told me to do to, like, make me feel safe, make me feel comfortable, because I was so scared of going with him. So I'd pray the rosary, like, religiously, literally the sense of the word religiously. I would pray every single night for, like, my fucking safety, so that my dad didn't get, like, too drunk and then, like, you know, be scary and abusive. And one night I was doing the rosary and he goes, do you even like doing that? Like, he was drunk this night, and I was getting ready to finish and read a book, and I was saying the rosary, and he goes, do you even like doing that? Why do you do it every single night? Like, he was just kind of being a dick and, like, prodding me. And I was telling him, no, but I have to do it because I said I would. I promised God or whatever. And he goes, you know, it doesn't work if you don't like it. It doesn't work if you don't. If you feel responsible for doing it, or obligated, that's the word he used. He said, if you feel obligated to do it, then you're not actually doing it. And you're not actually, like, being listened to, or something to that effect. And I remember when I used to pray, remember, for Asher?
Yeah.
And I wasn't even religious at that point, but I just wanted my son to be safe. And so I would pray every night for, like, an hour, like, that he would breathe and that he would be safe and that he would have a good life and live a long, happy life and stuff. And I would go and pray every night for an hour. And I remember very specifically thinking to myself what my dad said. It's not going to work if you feel obligated and you don't mean it. Like, it's not going to work. And then I remember after that, like, why do I do it? Like, even if God existed, I wouldn't want to be, like, believe in God. you know, because of all, like, the horrible things that happen. And if God, I found out God did exist, I'd be more proud of myself for defying God than I would be for believing him and blindly saying things to myself like, you know, everything happens for a reason. Which, ironically or hypocritically, I do believe to some extent. I believe, like, I guess in chain reaction, where one thing happens to you and it makes you into this person, which makes you into that person. There's a word for that, but I forget what it is. But I really, like, I think that's why I stopped believing in God, or why I stopped even considering religion, or considering that that was a option for me at all, because of what my dad said. Which is funny, because my dad died a super religious man.
That's what I was going to ask. So when you were young, he wasn't religious, or what?
He was, just not how, you know, like, almost like evangelical about it. He wasn't, you know, going on missions to fucking Romania to go convert, you know, all the children there to Christianity.
So when did he become super religious? Because I knew him very religious.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I'm not really sure, because, you know, there was that long period of time where we didn't speak at all. Mm-hmm. Well, you've known there's been many periods of time where we didn't speak at all. But it was in between, you know, when I was 12 to, I don't know, when did I start speaking to him again? 24, 25?
No, you were 22, I think.
22, okay. So, no, I think I was at least 23.
Okay, maybe 23, but it was the year before I got pregnant with Asher.
Okay, and you were 21. So I had to be 23 or 24.
I was either 19 or 20.
Definitely 20, because Asher was born when you were 21.
Yeah, but okay.
So you weren't pregnant for a year and a half, 2 years. But yeah, so, yeah, those words always stuck with me. Or maybe it's just that time. Like, that was one of the worst times that I had ever gone to go visit him. It was, like, one of the worst, scariest times. So maybe that's, I don't know, maybe that's why it stuck with me, but it did. And I've always really thought about that, him telling me that if I felt obligated, I wasn't actually speaking to God. I didn't mean it.
What's that saying that you like, that you said you wanted to get? That guy doesn't have any taillights. I can barely see him.
Yeah, I can't see him at all. If God's all powerful, then he's not all good. And if God's all good, then he's not all powerful.
Because, and I explain what it means. Because if you, I mean, you said it kind of fast, so maybe people didn't hear it.
If God's all powerful, then he's not all good. And if God's all good, then he's not all powerful.
Yeah, you just repeated it.
It's basically saying that, like, a being, say, like that, who's all powerful, should be able to make hard decisions, because it's the logical thing to do. It wouldn't be hard, it wouldn't be difficult, it wouldn't be easy, it would just be, you know? They would be able to do everything perfectly. There would be no, and I think a lot of religious people will argue that this is perfect. This is the life that you know, God wanted for us or whatever. But I think that's impossible, because we wouldn't even know what sadness or happiness is. We wouldn't know what terrorism is. We wouldn't know what illness is, famine.
So you're okay.
Racism.
Because you're saying if he's all powerful,
then all of that would be solved. And if God's all good,
so he can't be all good.
So he can't be all good, because he still lets bad things happen. We have an understanding of good and evil. We have an understanding of, I don't know, misfortune or depression or sadness or all things bad. We have an understanding of those things. And if God was all powerful, we wouldn't even be a thought in our minds. Everything would be perfect. It'd be a utopia.
But if he was all good, then he can't be all powerful, because if he's all good, then he wouldn't let us feel that.
Let those things happen.
So he can't be all powerful.
Essentially, it's still a perfect world.
Yep.
And I've always really liked that saying ever since I heard it. It was, I don't know, a few years ago, but I think I've always really like molded my beliefs after that, because it's completely true. You can't have this, you know, like spiritual being up in the sky running things who's all good or all powerful when, you know, all these things happen. And I can't be bought with the argument that God has a plan, because at the end of my life, if something happens to my family or my children or my wife, and I get up there and there's no fucking explanation for it other than, well, that's just how it's supposed to be, I'm going to set heaven on fire. Because
I'm not sure that's a thing.
I want an explanation
for what
the fuck your plan is. No, I'm definitely not going to heaven. But
no one I know is going to heaven. Sorry, everyone I know, but you're not.
But I mean, that's the problem I have with religion is... Sure, people want to say that it's not supposed to make sense, and that's what faith is. But I've heard this crazy argument that, you know, it's like air. You can't see the air that you breathe, and you know it's there, but, like, you can. Like, we actually know the composition of air and what oxygen's made of, and we know what we're made of, and, like, there's no faith involved in that. There's science. And I'd much rather believe that shitty things just kind of happen rather than somebody up there is letting them happen because they just kind of feel like it, or because they're too busy that day, or they have too many prayers to fucking answer, or things are supposed to happen for a reason. God's not all powerful and God's not all good.
Okay.
And that's it. I can't buy into religion. It's a horrible way of... And I've had this conversation with religious people just recently, actually. My cousin and I... My cousin's a very religious person, you know, and that's...
Which cousin?
My cousin Aaron.
Erwan?
Yeah. My cousin Aaron, and...
have you guys seen that video?
I don't know if people have seen it. I know at least my friend Joey's seen it.
Erwan?
But
he only has one A.
He only has one A. But he's, like, really religious. And I have nothing but respect for, you know, religious people. You know, they can believe what they want. I'm not going to convert you to atheism. I'm not trying to convince you to believe my way. And for the most part, you know, people have been pretty respectful to us. They've not tried to convert us. They've not tried to, you know... ask us to believe in religion, or it really hasn't come up for the most part, unless you can think of something. I mean, I can't.
I don't know.
But
are you still talking about this? Because I have another thing I want to bring up real quick.
Yeah, I guess. So Aaron and I were talking about this, and even he thinks there's a problem with religion. You know?
Well, because there is.
I respect him for saying this. He was kind of talking about how religion has kind of like distorted the Bible's view of God and how things are supposed to be, and that it's unevolved and they should be evolving and adapting because times change and we should be more accepting and tolerant and stuff. And I think he was saying something like people have really distorted that and used it for their own benefit and to fit, like, their personal lifestyle rather than the one that God wants them to live. And I think for those people that truly believe in God and live, like, the way that God intended for them to live, for the most part, like, they practice tolerance and they're accepting of people like myself and you who don't believe in God, because that's what God told them to do, to be accepting and tolerant, not to be exclusive and... persecute everybody and judge everybody and try to punish them.
What's that thing you brought up to your mom that one day about religion? And she
I have no idea.
I don't remember either. I remember you brought it up and she, like, didn't have a reason. And then she was just kind of like, you said that it like just kind of clicked in her head, like, oh yeah, that doesn't make sense.
I don't remember.
And your mom is super religious.
Yeah, I think, you know, I don't remember at all.
Well, dang LaWang.
Dang LaWang.
One time I was in Target and I kept dropping a shirt on accident. It kept falling off the hanger and it fell off, and I meant to say geez Louise, but for some reason I said dang LaWang instead, really loud, out loud, in the middle of the store. And now it's a thing that we say.
Dang LaWang.
Dang LaWang. Anyway, okay.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Well, if you think
was.
Of it, let me know. But in the meantime, I wanted to bring this up since we're passing it, since we're driving, and we both hate this place.
South Carolina?
South of the border.
Oh, this fucking racist place. I hate
okay.
this place.
If you guys have never driven on I-95 through South Carolina, then maybe you've never heard of this place, or maybe you have heard of it.
It's on the North Carolina-South Carolina border.
And it is a giant neon
sombrero.
Light mecca.
A sombrero. Yeah.
It's not just a sombrero.
Okay,
it's so many neon lights. And this place called South of the Border, and you can see billboards for it like miles and miles and miles down the road. And it's just so...
Hundreds of miles, in fact.
Andrew and I think this place is so terrible, and if you look up the history of the place...
It's worse.
It's so terrible, yet nobody says anything about this place being terrible.
No, because and it's loved by everybody down
it's
here.
It's loved by everybody. Well, it's loved by people everywhere, though.
Yeah.
Well, it's
the funniest
not
thing to them, and they think it's hilarious, and it's so offensive to me.
And I know people say that, oh, you got everyone in this generation is so, like, you complain about everything, but, like... If you, like, look up the history of this place...
South of the border.
It is terrible. It's basically, like, making fun of Hispanic people. And, like...
100%. Even the jokes that they say. Like, the Mexican word of the day.
If this place was, like, about African-American people, people would be up in arms about how racist this place is.
And rightfully so. They should
be. Well, yeah, definitely. And I just... can't believe that this place just sits there and nobody says anything about it.
But I've told you this, as a Mexican, growing up Mexican, we lay very low. We don't complain. We like to just...
Well, I mean, you should. You're going to get deported.
And, well, sure. Now,
I mean, you're not going to get deported. I mean, maybe they'll try to deport
you. I'm American, but...
maybe they'll try, but... freaking, you can't say anything being a Hispanic person. They'll come after you.
Here's the... one specific reason that I am the most angry with that South of the Border place is because the owner who created it used
to... This was a long time ago, back in what, the 60s?
Yeah, 60s or something like that, yeah. 70s maybe. He used to hire Mexicans because they're cheap, of course. And they, you know, he could hire them left and right and use Mexican labor to get, you know, all his shit done, construction. I don't remember what he did. He might have been like a... I don't remember what he did specifically. But he never remembered their names. They weren't people to them.
He literally
could not remember their names.
Called every one of them Pedro.
Pedro and Jose, until it just became Pedro. And he called every single one Pedro. And so the mascot of this place south of the border is this little Mexican, this fat little Mexican guy called Pedro, because he thought it was real funny that wears this giant oversized sombrero and has like this mustache and these squinty little eyes, and he's like just this little caricature of Mexicans. And it, I get it, like white people think that shit's fucking funny. You know, Americans for some reason think shit like that's funny, but it fucking infuriates me.
I mean, it's not. When you look at
when
the history,
you, yes,
and
when
you see that the guy
everyone's
was,
name is Pedro.
He just thought he couldn't, he didn't respect the people enough to even know their names.
They weren't humans.
They weren't humans to him. I mean, this is, I mean, actual Mexico, the country, has asked South Carolina to get rid of this place, and basically they laughed and were like, haha, no.
Yeah.
We
like,
love it
literally,
here.
It's an institution in South Carolina, and but that's not the only racist thing we've experienced here. Your parents' neighbors who said Mexicans don't belong here, you know, things like that. I mean, I've heard people out in public talk about how Mexicans are ruining their state, or like ruining the country, or we're lazy. And you know what, that's like far from the truth. Mexicans are the least lazy fucking people I've ever fucking known in my life.
Like, seriously, they will build your house and
for cheaper than you will,
and not complain. They'll be out in the heat all day,
not say a fucking word.
I mean, you have a cousin who's a nurse, you have a cousin who's a lawyer, you have a cousin who went to school for engineering. I mean, your other cousins are going to school for incredibly...
All my family started their own businesses or, like, worked very hard their whole lives as contractors, as, you know, the typical fucking hilarious... stereotypical things that people think is so funny, but like those jobs are super hard to do and they're really, really taxing on your body. And my grandpa worked until he was dead.
Literally.
His whole life worked as a fucking construction worker, bricklayer, his whole life until he was dead. And just, you know, I think a lot of it, like, he didn't want to miss work and so he never went to the doctor. You know, like that just wasn't even a thing. You know, he was in the military in Mexico here, and then he came to America and like worked his whole fucking life and got his citizenship. And you know, my grandma had 7 fucking kids and took care of all of them, and all those kids went on to be successful people. And like, so you can't fucking tell me that Mexicans are lazy, and you can't tell me that Mexicans like don't belong here, because they do, more than Americans do, considering they stole this fucking place from us.
Well, okay, I'm sure there are some Mexicans that are lazy, but I'm sure there are
everybody's lazy.
Yeah, white people that are lazy. There are some Asian people that are like...
It doesn't matter what race you are. If you're lazy, you're lazy. But if you're a hard worker, you're a hard worker. And, like, that just gets me. Like, every time we pass that place, it infuriates me just thinking about how that guy just didn't think enough of those people to even know their names to call, like, and he thought it was so funny to call them Pedro and to say things like, what's that one billboard say?
Oh yeah, they're all the billboards
or whatever.
All the billboards use
it was like Mexican word of the day is sausage. I never sausage a thing like south of the border.
Yeah, like they use like the words that would be billboard. Like an accents, like Hispanic accents or whatever.
And nobody says a thing. Like, it's not even
like, if you look up online, people don't, like, you know, usually people would like have like blog posts or news articles about it being racist, but there are like none. We haven't looked this up in a long time, so maybe there are currently.
Oh, like less than 6 months, though.
Maybe there are currently, but when we looked it up, people weren't saying anything, and it's just so shocking to me in 2019 that no one's saying anything about that.
Well, I guess it's not shocking to me because it's just how it is. Like, you know, I had friends that called me, like, Beaner and stuff when I was a kid all the time. My white friends, like, not even just my white friends, but like my Asian friends, my black friends, like, it didn't matter. Like, they thought Beaner and Spick and Wetback, like, those were fucking funny, you know? Like, and I didn't really, like, ever say anything. I don't even know if I had a problem with it when I was a kid, but like that now, if I heard that, or if somebody said that to me, I don't know how I'd be friends with those people, because those things are not okay. And I have kids that are half Mexican or quarter Mexican. Like, that's not okay. And not only are my kids quarter Mexican, but they're Italian, they're Polish, they're Croatian, they're English. Like, race doesn't exist anymore, because there is no one race anymore. It's all diluted. Like, there's no way you're not something else. Like, that's how I want my kids to be raised, that everybody is part of the same world, not, you know, part of one country or one place. That's fucking ignorant. And they all have names. It's not Pedro.
Some of them might be Pedro.
Some of them might be.
And that's totally cool to call those.
Pedro.
Totally cool to call those people Pedro. But don't just look at a Hispanic person and be like, your name is most likely Pedro. Because there are lots of names.
Anyway, fuck that place south of the border. Fuck that place. That place has no room in this country to exist.
I mean, it looks cool, though. All the lights and stuff.
Doesn't. It infuriates me every time I see it.
If they, like, just changed it to just be lights and not racism. Not, like...
I think what we should do is
lights
turn it
combined
into
with
a,
racism, a but just lights.
Uncle Sam, who's... like
a Billy Bob
holding some guns in the air saying fucking yeehaw, and then have a whip maybe in his other hand, like making people like work for free for them. How's that for a fucking stereotype?
I feel like people would be offended by that.
I think it would be offensive.
Well, you guys should go make a petition about
this. Let's make a petition about this fucking shit.
And maybe we can get that place closed down or changed, at least not closed down.
We'll
maybe
be run out of North Carolina.
I know.
Like so fast.
Okay, back to family, because there were some stuff that I didn't get to finish.
Vent. Still got to get that out.
Well, okay. First of all, I wanted to thank one of my friends, Tegan, because she gave me some of the best advice.
Oh, that was nice, actually.
That I had ever been given before. One time I was talking to her about, I think it was James Charles, which is like
cancel culture.
Super gay.
Super gay?
Yeah.
What is that?
YouTuber.
What? Super gay, really?
I don't know. Okay.
So we're just going to talk about racism, stereotypes, then you're going to use a term like super gay.
No,
I think we should apologize for that
immediately. I apologize for that immediately.
Anyway, he's a gay YouTuber. That matters. But well, he does makeup, and he's really good at it.
And I was talking to her one day about, like...
And you know what? If that makes you gay... Let's talk about how good I am at doing your makeup.
he does makeup. Anyway, Andrew knows that I love makeup, and I watch makeup tutorials all the time on YouTube. And Andrew and I always like to get into each other's hobbies because that just, I don't know, because it's just something we for us to do together.
It's an excuse to be together.
And so Andrew learned to do my makeup, and he does my makeup for me.
Not all the time. Very rarely now, actually. I did it for a while, and then I mastered it so well, I was like, I can't go any further with this. That's it.
He does my makeup every once in a while.
Peaked.
Anywho, I was talking to my friend about, I think it was about him, maybe it was about somebody else. Anyway, and I was, it was like an episode, or, are they called episodes when they're on YouTube?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. Why not?
I was watching one of his videos.
And he does one like weekly. What else?
I don't know.
An episode.
I was watching one of his videos with his family, and they were talking about like how he came out or whatever. And I was telling her like how, like, beautiful it was of how like accepting his family was, and how like I said something like I wish that like my parents were like that. Like I had said something along those lines to her. About like just like how amazing like his parents were, and she was like, okay, well, you can't change your parents, but you can be that for your kids.
Yeah.
And make that relationship with your kids, like, if that's the relationship you want to have as a family, do that for your kids. Like, you're not gonna have that maybe with your parents, but you can make that for your own family. And I just thought that was like, I was like, wow, you know what? You're right.
Yeah, now you use that against me to like remind me a lot of times when.
Well, because it was good advice.
It is really good advice. Yeah. Tegan's got some pretty good advice.
That's the only thing.
She's a good friend. No,
kidding.
But that reminds me.
Just joking, Tegan.
Oh, that's
if what
you're
listening,
saying. I didn't get your joke.
If you're listening, I'll know if you're not listening because you won't mention this to me.
Hmm. Good point.
So pressure's on.
Unless she's not listening, then there's no pressure at all. That brings a good point for me, though. Like being able to tell your parents stuff, because I even feel that. Like, I've wanted to go to your parents to tell them things also, like things that we're excited about, or ask for advice about things. You know, like specifically, we had an opportunity to like have a business at one point, and you know, like work for ourselves, which we have, like, but through photography, you know. But we were trying to move on to something else, and by the way, this place is doing so well right now. And we kind of asked your dad about it, and he basically, like, kind of just told us it was, like, a dumb idea. And that's really not the first time that's happened, you know. And I always try to, like, understand that they're from a different place where, you know, they just want us to get jobs. They don't want us to, like, take risks. And me and you are all about risks. Like, we want to take risks because we think that those things will, like, pay off in the end. And even if they don't, at least we tried. I don't like being those people that don't try. And, I mean, that's why we started this fucking podcast. That's why we started both our podcasts. And that's why we, like, do this, because we wanted to take a chance and try it. And we love it.
We've been doing,
you know,
poorly on our other podcasts, though. Yeah. We have been taking a break, apparently.
And but we're gonna get back to it.
We have
been strong.
The Apple and the Tree is our other podcast that we do as a family, or not really a family, but as the three amigos, me and Andrew and Asher. And once the other kids are older, they'll be on it as well if we're still doing it and they want to. But you should check that out.
The Apple and the Tree.
We will be doing that again soon.
Wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts,
except for SoundCloud,
Stitcher, Spotify, except for SoundCloud, because they are horrible about the way you, like, listen to podcasts.
Anywho.
Or about how they host. So once that changes, we'll also be available on SoundCloud. But yeah, like, we've brought stuff up to them, or, like, have asked for advice. Like, a while ago, a couple years ago, we wanted to move back to Colorado because there was a job opportunity for myself. A pretty decent one. And, I don't know, maybe I always kind of took this as your dad would have missed us. That's what I told myself. So he just kind of told us, no, that was a bad idea.
We used to live in Colorado. We moved to North Carolina a few years after our oldest was born, because my parents lived out here. We were kind of done with Colorado, so we wanted to move. So we moved out where my parents live.
Uh-huh, now we live here alone.
And that's was another topic I was going to bring up, is that was hurtful. That my parents, since we lived here, have always had a house here in North Carolina, and like a beach house in South Carolina.
Oh, now you sound bougie.
I guess so.
John would say.
Anyway, and they ended up a year ago deciding they wanted to just live in South Carolina full time. And so they sold their house here and sold their house there and then bought a bigger house there and moved down there. And that was hurtful to me, I think.
You think?
Well, because they know that we have no family here. They were literally our only family here. And they kind of had a discussion with us, like, would that be okay? And I feel like I said no. Like, I think I said I can't control your decisions, but no, I would rather you not do that because, like, we won't have any family here. We don't have, like, a ton of money, so we can't really just, like, hire babysitters to come. Like, if we ever wanted to go out or anything, we can't really hire babysitters, and they would watch the kids for us. Like,
well, I mean, we did lose a lot of, like, help, but...
Or, like, if
we
have
to... going over there to hang out, too.
Also, well, yes. Like, if there was an emergency where one of us had to go to the hospital or something, they're like, oh, well, you can always just call us and we'll just come. I'm like, well, sure, but that...
In 3.5 hours,
it
though,
takes you 3 hours, and that's tough, if you're not doing, like...
Anything.
Yeah.
Or if they answer.
Yeah, because if I call you in the middle of the night, I doubt you're going to answer.
Exactly. Like,
and, you know, and yes, miss, like, you know, we liked going over there and having, like, dinner or hanging out with them or whatever.
Yeah, we used to go over, like, once a week almost. Or we'd go to, like, trivia with them. Or, like, they were really, like, I don't know. It was nice having family.
For a while, when we didn't know anybody, when we first moved here, they were, like, our only friends here. And so, I don't know, it was hurtful that they were just like, well, I've heard your feelings and your opinions, but we're just going to do it still anyway.
I guess the thing that upset me about that was that we could have moved back to Colorado 2 years before that, but they kind of talked us out of it because they didn't want us to leave. And so that job opportunity, and it wasn't like there was multiple job opportunities. Those went away, don't exist anymore. Colorado got much more expensive, and it kind of stopped us from doing those things, you know? And then, I don't know, now we're back at that same point where we're like, well, you know, we're thinking about leaving or staying or what we're going to do. Our lease is up in February, and we have some decisions to make, and, you know, like, who do we ask for advice? Like, we can't really ask anybody because I think we've kind of learned that everybody has, like, their own motives. Nobody will give us, like, advice based on what's good for us. They'll give us the advice based on what they want. And, you know, because if we went and asked my family, I think they'd tell us to move back. And if we asked your family, they'd tell us to stay.
Or to move to South Carolina, which we're not going
to
do.
South Carolina. Which, yeah, we both don't.
Not.
It's fine to visit. I just couldn't live there.
Myrtle Beach. That's where my parents live. Yeah. I would not live in Myrtle Beach.
I wouldn't live in Myrtle Beach. Myrtle Beach is too touristy. It's
Greenville?
Too,
is that North Carolina? Yeah, South Carolina? That place was nice. I would live there.
Yeah. It's too, like, run down from all the tourists, too. Like, the tourists go there and nobody takes care of anything because, you know, they're just, like, down
crime.
There to go to the beach. It's a lot of young, like, college-age tourists, too, and spring break is a big problem, and then they have, like, these biker weeks that happen down there, and it's just... There's just so many things about it we don't enjoy that there's no way. I would not raise our kids down there, for sure.
No.
That would be a nightmare to me.
But, and then plus, when we told our friends that they moved, they've all been shocked.
Every single friend we've ever mentioned...
They'll say things like...
They left their grandchildren?
Or like, wow, that's rude, isn't it? That they just up and left?
We've actually had friends say, doesn't that upset you? And we're like, well, what are we going to do about it? It's happened.
And that always kind of like feels shitty too. For the people to be... I guess
I'm like, oh, at least we're not the only ones that feel this way. At least
but it feels shitty that it's like, I guess maybe I'd rather people be like okay with it, so, and then I would be like, oh, well, maybe I'm just being like oversensitive rather than
But that's
everyone realizing like that was a shitty thing to do to you guys, and then it's like, wow, it really was shitty. Like, the more people say things, it makes me feel worse because I'm like, yeah, that was a shitty thing to do.
But that's not on them. They're not saying it to be.
No, I'm not mad at the people saying that. It makes me more mad at my parents. But at the same time, like, a lot of people move like to Florida or you know, wherever at retirement age, and they don't seem to have a problem like with their parents moving.
I think it's because we moved here for them. Like, we wanted to move to California. I had opportunity to be a photographer out there, remember?
Yeah.
You know, this guy I know works for Discovery, and he was a photographer, and I was talking to him, and he told me, you know, I don't really take photographs as much anymore, but I still get job offers all the time, and I'll throw you those jobs, and, you know, that way you can get started. Like, that was going to be my in to get started in photography, and we were going to move to California. We had found places. We found a city to live in. Like,
but we didn't have family there, so we chose North Carolina instead.
Yep. And the shitty thing, I think, for me, the shittiest thing is that we moved to North Carolina, which we actually love. Like, North Carolina is, like, it's really grown on us. We love it here. And we've got a pair of, like, really great friends that we love, that we've gotten really close with. Like, really do. Like, we love them. But it's a place nobody wants to visit at all. Like,
yeah.
Nobody wants to come out here to visit at all. Like, we've even offered to pay for people's tickets to come out, and they're like, nah, what are we going to do out there?
Which is hurtful, because it's like, well, you can hang out with us.
I've actually had a family member say, like, if you moved to California, I'd come visit you. And I'm like, oh, okay. All right.
Which is crazy, though, because there's a lot to do in North Carolina, just because they don't know.
Because we know, though. Like, yeah.
Yeah, but just because they don't know about it doesn't mean there's not stuff to do here. Yeah.
I mean, I guess I'll give
people the... And it has amazing food. I will
say... The food's amazing here,
North Carolina... And I'm not saying, like, Southern food or even North Carolina food, because North Carolina barbecue is terrible.
Well, North Carolina style is terrible, but...
Ugh, it's so nasty, like, even though a lot of people like it. I think it's terrible, but...
I don't think it's nasty. It's fine.
I don't like vinegar.
I like the other kind better.
Yes, anyway, but, like, just restaurant-wise, they have so many different options of so many, like... different, you wouldn't even think this, but they have, you know, amazing, all different kinds of culture, food, and stuff.
And I take that back. We had two people come visit us, like, two people that we would expect to come visit, too, because they're, like, such good friends, and we're so close.
Well, and your mother.
And my mom, of course. But my cousin Aaron came with his son Elijah, yes, and Tegan came. Those three people came to visit us. Also my mother again, but, you know, like, that was big for us. Like, we like had plans. Well, Tegan was a surprise, but I was already, like, thinking of things to do and, like, trying to figure out stuff for you guys to do together, and, like, it was a big deal to me. And Aaron came, and we, like, made plans for him and Elijah and what to do with them, like, places to take them. We took them to the beach. Like, it was a big deal to us. So we've had a couple people visit, but we've lived here for 6 years, and only those people have come to visit.
One time each,
which
grateful that they came.
Grateful.
Not saying that.
And we're so happy that they came the one time, but, like, the point we're trying to make is they're the only ones who've ever come. Ever.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that magnified it for sure when your parents left, because it's like, well, we could have moved to California. And we've actually had people tell us that they'd rather us live in California, and they would visit more if we lived in California. And we have friends that live in California now.
Yeah.
Like, if we would have just moved to California, fucking weather's perfect. There's no hurricanes. Like, it's expensive, but so what? You pay more for that lifestyle.
Traffic, though. You know, my thing I hate the worst in the world is traffic.
Sure, but would you feel so alone? Like, I feel... You know, like, last year, the year before that, I got, like, so fucking lonely.
Yeah.
Because, like, we don't have anybody here. And that's why we have to get into each other's hobbies. If we have a hobby by ourselves, it's truly by ourselves. Like, alone. By ourselves. Like, if you do makeup, you're going to do it by yourself.
Like, well, I mean, I feel like makeup is usually a pretty solitude hobby.
Okay, you wouldn't want to do that, like, with your friends?
I don't know.
Like, when we went to Colorado to visit, you and Tegan did that together.
Yes, but, like, I think, if I lived near Tegan, I don't think we'd be going over to each other's house to do makeup all the time.
Probably. No, not all the time, but you would be comparing and talking about it and stuff and, like, sharing your hobby with each other, don't you
think? I guess, sure.
Where, like, you know, say I'm into, like, I don't know, something stupid. I don't, like, not stupid, but archery. Say I'm into archery all of a sudden.
And should, like, we do that?
Who else do I know that does fucking archery?
I'll do archery. That'd be fun.
Okay, but, like, who else do I know? So we have to do each other's hobbies, no matter how dangerous they are.
I mean, I feel like, though, most people do that, and then they just make friends, but...
In a relationship?
No, well, I mean, like... I feel like a lot of people just go out to the archery range and then they just meet people there and become friends
with
them.
Oh, sure. But I also think that out here there's not as many people our age with kids that want to do that stuff. Like, I feel like the people out here with kids definitely are more traditional. Like, they don't take their kids with them. They kind of more like...
And we have to take our kids everywhere because, like, well, we don't have anybody. Yeah. But, well, I mean, we would do that anyway, pretty much.
Yeah, we would do it anyway. But, yeah, we don't. What other option do we have? What are we going to do?
Okay, you know a hobby that I want to get into? And I know you know that I want to get into it because I've been talking about it for years.
What?
Curling.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Because...
We also tried to get people to curl with us. They said no.
No, I asked my dad when they lived here, when I first wanted to do it, and he said yes, but we just never did it because it's all the way in Durham.
Are they
going
to drive down here every day for curling practice?
No, this was like years ago. It was in Durham, and it was really far. That's why we never went. Anyway, but okay, because I had this idea that I really wanted to be in the Olympics, but I am in zero shape or athletic skills to be in the Olympics, and the only way I think that I would ever be able to... potentially go as curling, because first of all, you don't have to be in any kind of physical shape to be a curler, let's be honest. And second of all,
curlers everywhere are gonna be so mad at you right now.
I feel like there's like five curlers all in the Americas.
No,
I feel like there's probably only five.
There's a curling club here.
Do
why
you
they
know
have that
there's
for the
probably
five
one
people?
Person?
Okay.
That is there. Listen.
I doubt it.
Listen. How many curlers do you know? How many curlers do you know? None.
Okay.
So how many do you think there are? Probably not very many. So I have a better chance at getting to the Olympics if I become a curler.
Sure. I disagree with you on most things except for curling seems pretty awesome.
And you can also be like 95 years old and still do it, so.
Well, in that sense, like, we should do golf, which we did try in Colorado.
I feel like I wouldn't be good at golf.
Oh my
I feel
God,
like I'd
we're
be good.
Terrible at golf.
I feel it took me like 100 swings to get it even near
yeah,
the hole.
Yeah, me too. You know what's funny is we have, we can go to the golf course for free.
For our neighborhood? Because we live in a neighborhood with a golf course?
Yeah.
Never been.
Wow,
but no,
we
okay.
Sound super bougie.
Our
God.
Neighborhood.
Our neighborhood with a golf course.
Our neighborhood
and your parents
sounds,
with their beach house.
Our neighborhood sounds fancy, but it's actually like.
Archery
a cheap,
is a random hobby I chose.
Our neighborhood's like actually like a cheap neighborhood that's trying to be fancy. Like,
I don't think
okay.
it's trying to be anything.
It's
I think
not
it's
really
just
a
trying
cheap
to be
neighborhood, but the houses are like $175,000, which is not...
For out here, that's a pretty good price. That's not
yeah,
cheap.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on where you live.
That's
like,
pretty average.
Yeah. It's, you know, if
things
you live in
more expensive now,
California or Colorado, you know, if you lived in a house like what we live in, yeah. You'd be paying like $500,000 for it.
You know what's funny about North Carolina, too, is like... Other people in the country don't know about it, but on the East Coast, this is a place where people move to, like a lot of people.
North Carolina?
Like from all...
New York and New Jersey, especially.
Especially, yeah.
Yeah, there's so many license plates that say New York and New Jersey. Anyway, the houses, though, are by a man who lives... I'm not going to say his name, but it's like his company, and it's kind of like notorious for being cheap. Built
low quality
housing.
It's a quantity over quality kind of company, which uh-huh. is not unique to just them.
No, but
it's
But in our, we have lived in two houses since we've been in North Carolina.
Built by them, sure, and they were
both built by them.
Falling apart.
Well, this one's much better than the last one.
For sure, yeah.
The last one, we had a wall in the house, and we were trying to hang something. Our daughter started crying. Asher, can you help
And the studs were way more than 18
well,
inches
Andrew
apart.
Went down the wall trying to find a stud so we could hang a very heavy thing in the wall. And
couldn't find one. I thought this stud finder must be broken.
He literally took a hammer and nail, went all the way down the wall, could not find a stud in the wall.
And it was a load-bearing wall, too, actually.
Uh-huh,
it
yeah.
was,
they were very
the
far apart.
In the center of the house. The minimum of 20. For anybody that knows construction at all, studs are supposed to be 18 inches apart maximum. And these were at least 24. And actually, that's the other thing, is they weren't evenly spaced. Some were 22, some were 24, some were 18.
But where we were trying to hang it, he literally went down the wall every, like,
inch till I found one.
Yeah, and so there were a whole bunch of holes in our wall because we couldn't find a stud.
Yeah.
Anyway, do you think that should be it? We've been going pretty long.
It's pretty long. I mean, we're almost home.
Yeah.
It's been so long. And I don't even know if I'm going to post it because I feel like all we did the whole episode is
bash my family.
Talk shit about your parents.
Yeah.
So I think I'll probably not post this.
Well, we'll see. Probably will, because you don't have another episode for tomorrow.
No, I just have to record another one.
Well, I think you're probably going to post it. I don't know if my parents listen to this or not. Guess we'll find out if they ever mention anything.
I don't want to find out.
Well, we will find out.
I think we said some things that might be hurtful to them, and I don't want to see what that's like.
Yeah. Maybe it will make them change, though. Maybe they'll move back to North Carolina.
I doubt it. They just got that house built.
Yeah.
And it's really nice from the pictures because we haven't gone to visit
there.
Them. Yeah. Which I feel bad about sometimes, but then at the same time, I'm like, I feel like I've dug in. And I don't know about you. I feel like you're on my side. Or no.
Yeah.
Should we go? I don't know.
I don't know. I have to go pee, though.
Well, you can go pee in an hour and a half.
We're still an hour and a half away from our house.
An hour and like 10 minutes.
Oh, I have a headache.
There's a deer out there.
Where is it? Stay.
Eyes.
One time, a deer ran into the side of our car. What an idiot he was, man.
I didn't hit that deer. He hit me. That was so crazy.
We were driving down the street, and he hit this freaking passenger door of the car.
Crazy.
Ran right into it.
And his fur was in the door. Yeah, that was awesome. Not for the deer. I think he was okay that I stopped and looked.
He ran off. He might have died at a later point, but
not then.
Not there, yeah.
What a dumb deer.
One of my coworkers was in the middle of Raleigh, like downtown Raleigh, and he was stopped at a stoplight on his way to work, and a deer jumped on the hood of his car.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
And he had, like, deer hoof prints in the hood of his car. He was so angry.
I totally forgot about that.
That's funny.
Hey, speaking of deer, though, here's my next hobby that I've always wanted to try that nobody
deer?
Has tried with me is hunting.
I don't know if I could hunt, though.
I know, but we always share hobbies.
I know, but hunting's kind of a solitude activity as well, right?
It's not.
Oh.
You can go in pairs.
I know, but I don't know if I could shoot an animal.
Okay, so I'll do the shooting.
Yeah, but
I don't know if I could shoot an animal either, but I feel like if I was going to eat it, I could. I could do it if I was going to harvest the animal and not just do it for fun.
You're so grossed out by things, though. Do you think you could
not
actually,
anymore.
Like...
Do you think after three
no,
kids...
No, you're definitely less grossed out of things than you used to be. But I don't think you could, like, gut an animal. I think that would gross you out a lot.
I don't know. Don't know. Never tried it.
I don't know.
Maybe I would like it. Stick my hands in the blood and then just rub it all over my face. Ah.
All right.
I'm a caveman.
On that note, I think we should end it. How do I stop this thing?
I don't know. Bye.
Do I push the record button again?
Push... something.
Or do I push?
There must be a stop button.
Push the stop button.
And that concludes another episode of Far Betterment. Thank you to all my listeners. Thank you to all my subscribers. And thank you to everybody who's rated the podcast so far. If you haven't subscribed, you can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, Apple, anywhere that you listen to podcasts, including where you're listening to podcasts right now. And please, please don't forget to give us a 5-star rating. It helps us tremendously. I can't tell you how much it helps us. If you want to give us anything less than 5 stars, please don't. There's really no reason.